How many of you remember the movie The Poseidon Adventure? Oh, yeah. I remember seeing the movie the first time with my grandma. She picked my brother and I up, and we were jazzed about it. I mean, we were excited about this movie. We had seen the trailer, and, you know, at the end of, after they show you all the action and everything, they go, "Who will survive?" And so we're sitting in the Roxy Theater in Springfield, Illinois, and we could not wait to find out the answer to that question. The advertisement for it promised that it would be hell upside down. And as I remember the movie, I mean, it delivered big time. The plot was basically around the SS Poseidon, aged luxury liner. And it was heading from New York to Athens, Greece, and it was going to be decommissioned. But there were a lot of fears. There were a lot of fears about the safety of the boat. And so they head out into the open waters, and then the real plot begins because things go terribly wrong. There's an earthquake. They end up with this monstrous wave which capsizes the ship. And then you got basically the movie. I mean, just in a matter of moments, it goes from happy New Year's Eve celebration to hell upside down. You know, the rest of the movie is kind of the struggle. It's about survival. And I have really fond memories of that movie. And my grandma, she fell asleep in the movie. And, you know, she fell asleep when just as the boat was capsizing about there. And then she added to the sound effects by snoring through the movie. And she woke up at the end when they're cutting through the hull and they're about to all be rescued. That's when she woke up. And so it's a precious memory for me. My grandma took us to a lot of movies when I was growing up. And it was important to her. And so she'd just carve out time and we'd go to a movie. She'd call and go, "Hey, you want to go to a movie?" And off we'd go. But it was important to her to spend that time with us. That day, she was tired. And as I look back, I don't think I knew it at the time, but I know why she was tired. Because just a few months prior to that, her whole world had been turned upside down. My grandpa died unexpectedly, and it really set in motion a lot of difficult situations in her life. She had financial storms that quickly followed. She ended up having to sell her house. She was forced to change jobs to get something that would help her support herself. And she was working long, hard hours, really long and hard hours. And as I think about it, I imagine she was hurting. But for some reason, she just kept pressing and moving forward. And I remember driving home that night after the movie, and Grandma said, "Wasn't that a great movie?" And my brother and I said, "Yes," and we kind of are laughing and snickering, and so it's a good memory for me. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been afraid in a storm? Have you ever had your world turned upside down? You know, suddenly everything changes and you move into that survive mentality. You know, "Lord, deliver me." Ever prayed that prayer? I mean, I've prayed that prayer many times in my life. "Lord, deliver me. Lord, this is bad. Deliver me." And I have learned that God hears that prayer and that you can trust God in the midst of it. Jesus said in John 16, he says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." In this world, you'll have trouble. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Sometimes the seas rage in life. The waves surge. The fact is, there are times that the sea gets so rough, it turns your life upside down. In this life, if you haven't figured it out, there will be difficulties. It's part of life. And I believe as I read about the life of Paul, Paul encountered more than his fair share of difficulties and problems. And yet Paul followed very faithfully. He trusted God in the midst of the struggles. It led Paul to write this. He said, "Instead, in everything we do, we show that we are God's servants by patiently enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties." You show the kind of Christian you are by how you respond to the problems and the difficulties in life. Your reaction to those difficulties speaks volumes about your faith, about your emotional maturity, about your spiritual maturity. And what I'm about to say will upset some of you. But friends, if you bail, if you complain, if you gripe the whole time, every time you run into those difficulties, it says something. I mean, it's a sign of not being very mature, emotionally or spiritually. The fact is, we can learn through the difficulties. In fact, most of the difficulties in our life is where you grow. In fact, if you could say it this way, most of the growth in your life occurs because of difficulties. See, it's deep stuff. That's why we're in this series, Deep. Today's story is kind of a Poseidon adventure story. It's one of the many difficulties that Paul faced in his life. The story is recorded in Acts 27. Paul is a prisoner. He's being taken to Rome by ship. He's going to face trial in Rome. The trip that he's on involves changing ships several times. And on this trip, they're behind schedule. It has taken a lot longer than expected due to the wind, due to the weather. And it's getting late in the season to be taking this kind of journey because winter's coming. And Paul says this. He says, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also." The captain, the ship's owner, we're told the centurion that's escorting Paul, ignored the warning. And in fact, if you read the entire chapter, and I'd encourage you to read it this week, they sail on, it says, because they got impatient. They wanted to get to the next harbor. They thought it would be a safer harbor. It's a place where they could winter and that it would protect the boat. And so they leave the port, and then they hit the mother of all storms. And they end up shipwrecked, and that's the story that we're going to kind of talk about today. Some of you have been in a shipwreck. I mean, some of you have had emotional shipwrecks in your life. You've lost your bearing. You've lost your energy. Some of you, your relationships have been capsized. The fact is, you thought everything was going fine, but now things are kind of falling apart. I mean, some of you have had vocational shipwrecks or health shipwrecks. And initially, I think when we find ourselves in a shipwreck, we wonder, how did I get here? I mean, how did this happen? And there are really several possibilities when you find yourself in those kind of conditions. A lot of times, I cause the difficulties in my life. I don't know about you, but most of the difficulties I face are because I did something or didn't do something. I bring those problems on myself, and my guess is it's true for you too. Another possibility is other people. Other people, sometimes they jam you up. The devil, he'll set snare to you once in a while. And then sometimes God allows us to go through difficulties because he wants to get our attention, wants to test us, wants to bring about growth in our lives. And so there are all kinds of reasons we have storms. There are all kinds of reasons there's problems in our lives. And the fact is, sometimes you got to figure out. You got to figure it out. I mean, what's the source? What's the source? And the only way I know how to get to the source of why something's going on in my life is to pray to God. I mean, talk to God about it. The psalmist writes, says, I tried to think this problem through, but it was too difficult for me until I went into your temple. See, that tells me there's one of the reasons that we come to church. I mean, we come to worship. We come to get God's perspective. We come to see if God has anything to say to us. And we come to church, and it helps us figure things out. Almost every decision, major decision, I'll say, in my life, those turning points in my life, they happened in church, happened in a service like this. I went to church. I had no idea that anything was going to happen that day, but I heard God. Heard God maybe in a song. Maybe some of you heard that this morning. Maybe heard it in a message. Sometimes God spoke to me through a scripture that was shared that morning. I've even had those things happen in conversations with people. Someone I met at the door and we got talking, and then God just kind of spoke through them and it changed me. And I kind of raise that to say, you just never know. You never know what God might do on a Sunday morning. And then I think, well, what if I had missed that? What if I hadn't heard God that morning? And friends, I'll be honest with you. It would have changed my life significantly in certain situations that as I look back and I think, wow, that was pivotal. What if that hadn't happened? Might happen the next week? Don't know. I mean, it's something to think about. So these sailors, they decide that they're going to sail on. They're going to go out into the Mediterranean Sea. Paul warned them. He says, if we sail, it's going to be a disaster. And Paul's an expert. He's been in 3 shipwrecks, so I'm thinking he knows his stuff here. I'm also thinking don't travel with Paul. but Paul says it'll be a disaster. But they end up making some very common mistakes, these sailors do, because as I read this story, I think there's mistakes that we make in our lives that jam us up when we find ourselves in storms in our lives. That it just, one, we listen to the wrong advice. You ever done that? Listen to the wrong advice in your life? The scripture says, but the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot, the captain, and of the owner of the ship. Paul had warned them. He says, don't sail. It's going to be a disaster. But the experts said it was okay. And so they sail. They go out into the Mediterranean. And here's the deal. When I read that, I want to say, you know what? If God tells you to do something or not do something, best advice I got, listen to God. This world is full of experts. And sometimes I go, so-called experts. I'm like, who made them an expert on this? But God trumps all of them. God trumps all the experts. Period. But it's a mistake we often make. We listen to the wrong advice. Sometimes we go with the crowd, and especially in our society today. You know, scripture says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. There are 276 people on this boat. The majority decided that they needed to leave the port. The majority, in fact, if you read the chapter, you pick up on the tone. It is the heavy majority decided that they needed to sail. And what I have figured out in this life is often the majority is wrong. There's a phrase I hear often from people. I hear it from parents. I hear it from couples. They'll say, but everybody is doing it. You ever say that? And I go, so what? Everybody's doing it. The majority of people are doing it. It must be okay. The Israelites, when they were leaving slavery in Egypt, they're heading to the promised land, God's hands on them, and there's a point where the majority said, let's go back to Egypt, let's go back to slavery. Friends, they were wrong. Do not base your morality, do not base your values, do not base the way you live on the majority, on popular opinion, peer pressure. Peer pressure keeps a lot of people from doing what God wants them to do. And it's not just kids. It's adults. You know, another mistake is where we rely on the circumstances in our lives. In the scripture it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along to the shore of Crete. There's a gentle breeze. They see it. They spot it. Paul saying, don't sail. God said, if we do, we're going to head into a storm. It's going to be bad. But they look at their present condition. They see this gentle breeze. They see an opportunity. Friends, just because something looks good doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You know, sometimes I believe Satan, the evil one of this world, I think he starts arranging things so that it looks really good. And the fact is, he wants to trip you up. He wants to set you up. And ultimately, he wants to mess you up. Just because the door's open doesn't mean you have to go through it. You know, the fact is, we should not accept every job offer that comes our way. Single people, just because someone asks you out doesn't mean you should go. You know, the fact is, you don't do everything that you have an opportunity to do in this life. With every opportunity, you should seek God. You should ask God, God, what is it that you want in the midst of this? What is it that would be pleasing to you? What falls within your parameters and your will? In other words, it may look great, but beware. See, it looked great. It looked like an opportunity for them to sail. It looked like they could get to the next harbor, to a safer harbor, someplace that they could settle in for the winter. God said, no, don't go. It looked clear. Gentle breeze. And friends, they sail out and they head right into the storm. And it's a doozy of a storm. I mean, it looked like everything was going good for them. I imagine they got a few miles out. They're like, this is good. We're cruising. We're going to get there. Things are good. Nice breeze. I see people do this all the time in their lives. It looks great. Looks like smooth sailing. They're cruising along, and then the storm hits. And it turns their life upside down. I mean, we could spend the morning, people say, it looked really good, and boom, it turned it all upside down. Paul warns them. He says, don't sail, but they sail anyway. And I feel for Paul, because Paul is a prisoner. He doesn't have a choice. We're sailing anyway, Paul. God says, don't sail. Do I really have to go with you? Can't I stay here? They force him into the storm. Paul has absolutely no choice, and Paul ultimately is going to be shipwrecked anyway. It wasn't a choice he made, but he was forced to. And I think not all the shipwrecks in our lives, you didn't cause all the shipwrecks in your life. I mean, sometimes things happen because you're in the wrong place, wrong time. You know, and I think when it's not your fault, those are the really hard storms to deal with, isn't it? Some of you may be there today. You know, you're in a storm, it wasn't your fault. Those are hard to deal with. mean, some of you, maybe you're in that storm. Maybe your ship's already been wrecked. I mean, how do you survive in that? This is my best advice. I always tell it when people say, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why. Don't focus on the why. It's okay to figure out so you go, okay, did I do something or not do something or whatever. But don't focus on the why. Focus on the what. What does God want me to learn through this storm, through this shipwreck? Paul writes, he says, "And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory." It's kind of awkward there. Tremendous and eternal glory. Much greater than the trouble. Paul's telling us to remember that our troubles are temporary. Whatever it is you're going through, it's temporary. The storms are temporary in life. They're not going to last forever. But the reward that we get, what we learn when we go through that's the permanent piece. God has a purpose. God's purpose is permanent. He wants you to grow. You say, well, what about the stupid things I've done? Well, God will use that. What about the people that hurt me? Intentionally, unintentionally. God will use it. What about when the devils jammed me up and tempted me and I did something and I ended up in? God will use it. My point is, God will use whatever. God can bring good out of any storm, out of any shipwreck, whatever it is you're going through. God's purpose is greater than the problem. God's purpose is greater than the pain that you're going through. You got to look past the problem. You got to look at the benefit. You got to look at God's purpose in the middle of it. Ask yourself, what's God want me to learn? What's God want me to learn here? Paul writes, he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength, and character strengthens our confidence, confident hope of salvation. God wants us to learn something in the storm, in the shipwreck. There's a purpose to it, that we grow, that we develop. And a little heads up. I have figured this out the hard way because I've had to go through things over and over, you know, slow learner sometimes. But if I do not learn what God wants me to learn in the storm, I find that I go back through storms. I go through similar storms. I go through it till I get it. That's how God works, because God is more interested in developing your character than he is making you comfortable in life. God's more interested in you becoming more like Jesus Christ than in making life easy for you. That's deep. That's hard sometimes. The storms, the trouble, the problems, the challenges in life help you grow. I challenge you to look at where you've grown. It's through the difficulties in life. Some of you, maybe you're going through that health storm right now, or a relational storm, or a marriage storm, maybe a family storm, maybe a financial storm. And your ship, you feel like it's about to capsize. And I believe God made sure you were here today so you he could speak to you, just to hear God say, don't give up. Grow up. Don't give up, but grow up. That's God's plan through the storm, whatever it is to grow you, is to develop you so that you become the person that he created you to be, called you to be. And that's how God works. I mean, what happens to you is not as important as what happens inside you. See, that's what we take to eternity. That's eternal. So when you're in the storm, how do you respond? Well, here's some typical responses that I think are not helpful, and you find them throughout the story here. It says the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so they gave way to it and were driven along. Oftentimes when the storms hit in life, what we tend to do is drift. You know, if you read the story, Paul's on this ship. They're heading to Rome. They're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. The storm gets so brutal at a point. They haven't seen the sun for 14 days. They're in total darkness. They're getting lost. Their bearings, they've lost their bearings in this. They have no idea where they are. They can't see the sun. They can't see the stars. They can't figure it out. They've given up on finding a direction in their life. And so they just drift. And I think that's what happens in life. Some of you, the storms hit, and it's getting tough. And if you are not careful, what you will do, you'll start drifting in life. No goals, no objective, no dreams, no purpose. And it gets tough. And you think, why try? Why put in the effort? And you move from thriving to simply surviving and drifting through life. You drift and you coast. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. But it goes the same direction, doesn't it? It goes down. You know, you never drift upstream, do you? Life gets tough, problems happen, storms come, and what happens is you lose your ambition, you quit dreaming, and at some point you just lose your direction altogether. So these guys are drifting on this boat. They can't figure out what to do, so they just let the current take them. The storm doesn't let up. It gets more intense. It says, "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard." Can you picture it? Ships being battered. They began throwing things overboard. And Scripture, when you read it, they throw their tackle overboard. They throw their cargo overboard. They're ready to throw the prisoners overboard. They're discarding. They're abandoning a lot of things that they need. And I think that's a common response, isn't it? When you get in a storm, you start abandoning things. The difficulties increase. The pressures get unbearable. And so you start abandoning. You abandon your values. You abandoned relationships. You start isolating yourself. You start unplugging from things. You've heard the term throwing in the towel? Well, it becomes a mentality when you're in a heavy storm. I'm giving up on my marriage. I am out of here. I quit. I'm not going to church anymore. My life's awful. I'm giving up on my dreams. That'll never happen. And friends, you just start chucking stuff overboard, abandoning those things that you need in life. Typically, it's a kind of a impulsive response. And my bottom line, don't do it. Don't do it. Protect yourself from doing that. The angel appears to Paul in the story and tells him that the ship's going to be destroyed. But God will save you and the people. Paul goes to the crew, and apparently they didn't buy his story, because now they're about to throw him overboard and all the other prisoners. Some of the sailors are going to abandon the ship. They're going to jump in the lifeboats. The Scripture says this. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men," and he's talking about the guys that are about to jump into the lifeboats and abandon the ship, and he's talking about the prisoners that they're going to throw into the sea. He says, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboats and let them drift away. They cut the lifeboats. It was their way of saying, everybody's staying on this ship. And I wonder, have you done that? I mean, have you done that in your marriage? Have you cut the lifeboats so there's no way out? Divorce is no longer an option. I mean, have you closed the escape hatch, so to speak, so that there's no option but to work it out? In the storms of life, friends, I don't care what area it is. You pick your area. If you're in a storm right now, stay with the ship. Do not abandon your values. Do not opt for the easy way out. It is never God's will that you should run from a tough situation. God wants you to learn. God wants you to grow. God wants you to develop. God wants you to stay with it. And if that storm's intense, you got to guard yourself against despair. You know, those moments when you begin to lose hope. Scripture says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, almost 2 weeks, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They've been through so much. They've chucked everything just about overboard. They've given up all this stuff, and now they're going to give up hope. See, that's the last thing that goes. Now they're going to give up the hope in their life. Hope's the last thing to go. But they've forgotten something here. That God's in control of the storm. In other words, God hasn't left you. You got to remember that. Some of you are in the storms today. God is with you. God will help you. The question is not, will he help you? The question is, will you trust him? You know, what's the right response when we're in these storms? What's the right response when we're up against difficulties? Maybe our ships have been wrecked. Well, one, you got to confess your part. If you brought it on yourself, admit it. You quit blaming others. You stop making excuses. You own what you can own. Period. Now, I brought this on myself. I got myself fired. I messed up the marriage. I did this part in it. I've got an issue with drugs or alcohol. I've got a problem with my mouth. I've got a spending problem. Whatever. Admit it. Own it. Own what you can. You know, the scripture says, the psalmist writes, he says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them. Give them up. Then God will show you mercy. Friends, why pretend? Just admit it. It's part of what allows us to come out of the dark, to see light finally. Storms lose their power when you own what you can own in them. And then you confront the storm head on by doing whatever it is you can. It's what Paul did. It's interesting. He says to the crew, he says, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. No one of you will lose a single hair from your head. It's interesting. Paul says, you know what? When we get in this storm, we've been in the storm a long time, we tend to not take care of ourselves. And Paul's just getting real practical here. The fact is we get overwhelmed, don't we, with problems? And then we don't eat right. We don't sleep right. Things that we need to do. Paul just says, you know what? We've been out here for 14 days now. Some of you are so worried and sick. You haven't eaten. The waves have been beating us around. You haven't eaten. You haven't slept. Go eat something. You go, well, that's pretty simple. But then Paul goes on and he tells him, he says, we need to lighten the load on this ship. We need to get rid of some more stuff off the ship. And then he gives him advice. He says, we're going to go straight into the storm. We're going straight in. And when we get into the storm, I want you to cut the rudders from the boat. I want you to loosen the anchors. Paul has a plan. See, Paul's going to run the ship aground as you read it. He's intentionally going into this storm. He's going to face it head on, and then he's going to run it aground. And friends, you don't run from your problem, whatever it is. And you don't turn away from it. If you do, you might capsize. You just take it head on because you're going through. You know, Scripture promises us that God will see us through whatever it is, but it's going through. It doesn't say, oh, we're going around it. We're going through it. Paul says to him, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nonetheless, we must run aground on some island. God was with them. It wasn't easy, but God got them through the situation. Some of you are in the storm, and I want you to know you can trust God. God says he'll get you through. May not be the way you want, but God will get you through, and you got to claim those promises of God. In Scripture, there are over 7,000 promises in Scripture. And I believe when you're in a storm, especially when it's intense, you got to start claiming some of God's promises. The angel comes to Paul and delivers a promise from God. He says, have faith, guys. It will happen just as God said. God promised. You can trust him. God didn't say the ship's going to make it. In fact, it's not going to make it. But God said that we'll make it. We will make it through. You can trust God. Some of you are in the storm, and I want to tell you, your ship may not make it. You may lose your house. You may lose your job. You may lose a lot of things, but God will see you through whatever it is. You can make it. You know, Scripture says that as the ship approached, it was coming hard and fast, and it hits the sandbar. And the waves start crashing into the boat. It's tearing it apart. And Paul says he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. See, they hit the sandbar. They're close enough to land now. Says the rest were to get there on planks or any other piece of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Can you picture that scene? Broken pieces of the ship floating around on the sea. It's littered with it. But all the people are saved. They all survive. Some of you are in that storm right now. Your ship may not make it, but you can. Head toward the land. Hold tight to God. You may have to swim, and you may have to swim hard. You may have to dog paddle. You may have to hold on to debris. You may have to hold on to the broken pieces to make it through, but you can make it through with God. Now, I was thinking about, we're all broken. Our hearts have been broken. Some of you, your hearts are breaking today. You may have broken homes, but you can make it. You may be financially broke, but you can make it. You know, whatever is broken, God can see you through. If you trust God, if you're obedient, you can make it. And some of you, that's just what you needed to hear this morning. You can make it. You read the story, and you find that everyone and everything's fallen apart in the story. Everyone and everything except Paul. And I think, why is that? How'd this guy have so much confidence and peace? Well, friends, his confidence wasn't in the ship. His confidence was in God. And that's my challenge to you today. You're in a storm? Trust God. Put your confidence in God. Let the world see God in you as you go through the storm, whatever it is. We're going to have prayer. We're going to close a little bit different. I want to pray for you. And then as we're sharing in music, let God minister to you. If you've got a storm, maybe you've been through, maybe you're getting ready to go through, maybe something's shipwrecked in your life, we got prayer teams that'll be down front, be glad to pray with you. You can come up and tell them what you want, or you can just say, pray for me. Just pray for me. I'm in a storm. I'm coming out of a storm, and I want to praise God today. But just however God moves you, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. you're with us in the storm. And God, I know there are individuals here today, families here today. The seas are raging. They're in the middle of a storm. God, I know there are some, it's maybe a marriage storm, it may be a vocational storm, maybe a health storm. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would whisper to them, that they would know that you're with them, that they're going through. God, I know there are many here that give testimony to how you saw them through the storm. There are many of us, we've been shipwrecked. It all looked lost. But God, you brought some good out of it. You saw us through it. God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. God, I pray that when we are in those storms, that the world would see you. That they'd see our faith. Yes, even though we're afraid, that our trust in you would help us just go through. God, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. God's people said, amen. Amen.